Uncensored.
Ho, ho, motherfucking ho. It's your boy, Rodzilla, the motherfucking killer Klaus. And you know when there's a Klaus, there's sax involved. Oh, yes. I've been listening to my Buck fans and I've been watching. I've been paying close attention. And I know what everybody wants this year for Christmas. First of all, I made a stop in New York to my man Mike. Left him a pair of double D's on the table. Pair of double D titties. He was a happy boy. But unlike those nice, firm double D's, the Buccaneers served us a pair of long, flat, flabby titties. You can't do shit with flabby, flat titties. Who wants that? The only thing you could do with that is roll them up like a fruit roll-up, tape them to the shoulders, and cover that shit up with a wife beater. But anyway, this year, I'm not unloading the sack. I'm filling it up. And what you want for Christmas is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to take Caleb Bitternock, Damar Dotson, and the whole Buccaneers coaching staff. Put them in my bag, load up my big ass motherfucking sack, and drop their ass off at the North motherfucking Poker. They broke. They some broke motherfuckers. Because as Buccaneers fans, all we want is a 5-game winning streak. Play for 4 quarters, 3 points from field goals, 2 play beats on so 2 sides of the ball, and a playoff appearance, please. That's all the fuck we want. Well, I gotta load up. So next Monday, be prepared. Ho, ho, motherfucking hell.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Lite, and $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with 2 locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
Fix it, I'd do it right now, but I don't know what that is.
What the fuck?
If you want some, come get some. Look where I'm from, we
somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. And I won't answer now.
Good to have.
A lot of dudes like to act the fool now.
The killer. Rodzilla. Santa himself with a big old sack. Back here on Bucks Uncensored. That's right. Hope you all enjoyed your Christmas, your holiday, your time off of work, and your time with your families. Because now, the presents just keep on coming. Because come Monday, this team will be on a search for a new coach. And who knows? They might be on the search for much more. Is it a president? Rock Riley had that news. I don't know if I've done a podcast since then, but I've talked to Rock, and he feels very confident in his report that the Buccaneers are going hard after a president. Not a bad idea. And they said they're going to let that president dictate the fate of Jason Light, but the coach is gone, 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 gone. Who's the president? Could be a GM, could be a former GM, might be a name you've never even heard of. Could be a former coach. If it were up to me, and Michael Clayton actually had a really good point on Twitter, Mike, I see you. But I'd listen, the money that the Glazers spend on a president, on a GM, on a coach, that does not affect the team. It does not affect you. It does not affect the salary cap. I could give two shits how much money they spend on a president. Fuck, if they want to spend $50 million a year on a president, don't matter to me. I don't, not my money, and doesn't hurt my team. So, whoever. With that being said, I don't know what he's going to ask for, but my first call would have been, no, not Tony Dungy, no, not Derek Brooks. I think my first call would have been to Peyton Manning. And I don't know if he wants it or not, but you talk about instant credibility, multiple, you know, obviously one of the multiple records and one of the best quarterbacks of all time, Super Bowl champion, can walk in with that, instant respect in the locker room, instant respect in the building, instant respect across the league, incredible intelligence, football intelligence, a calming presence, but a passion to win, and a guy who's very well connected throughout the entire NFL. Oh, and by the way, Jameis Winston participated in his camp and might be the best thing for Jameis. So to me, that's who I'm going after. Now, that's not the topic of this podcast. That's the first step. I don't think that comes to fruition. I don't think that becomes a reality, but that's what I would do. Now, Michael Clayton said, Peyton Manning's probably going to want some sort of ownership or part ownership or whatever in the team that he joins. And maybe that's something the Glazers aren't willing to part ways with. I don't know. But that would be my first choice. Obviously, Tony Dungy, I don't think he wants it. Is it Derek Brooks or is it somebody none of you have ever heard of? I don't know. But I want to talk about who's coaching this team next year. Okay, because no matter who the president is, no matter who the general manager is, they have to get the coach right. The coaches are out there taking what the GM gives them and molding it into the team, right? Jason Light's done a good job, not a great job, not an elite job, not a bad job. I think when you look at the roster, position by position, yeah, I could argue that there's no doubt in my mind they're a more talented roster now than they were in Mark Dominick's last year. But I think in addition to that, I think they have talented players on both sides of the ball that have been victims of a coaching staff that have not put them in position to succeed and have not developed schemes to their players' talents or evolved their own schemes to their players' talents. Definition of bad coaching. So the coach is going to be changed. what I want to do on this podcast, because it is a holiday week, because a lot of people are in and out, I want this to kind of be a blanket podcast you can listen to now, you can listen to this weekend, you can listen to once Dirk Cutter's fired, and as they go through the searching process. It's going to be briefly going through pretty much every head coaching candidate out there with what I know or what some facts or just what I know about the person. You take it whatever you want. There was a great list on the Bucks Mob Facebook page. Somebody put up a poll. I couldn't find it. So instead, thank goodness, somebody else posted an article here from NFL Network or NFL.com. And pretty much they just have a long list of names. Here's one. I probably wouldn't even read this, but just to give you an example. Keith Armstrong, Atlanta Falcons special teams coordinator. He's not going to be the next Bucks coach. But then it says in his 11th season in Atlanta and 22nd as an NFL coordinator, Keith Armstrong interviewed with Arizona after last season. I don't care about that. All right, so that's pretty much the brief rundown you have there. I'm going to talk about some of the guys I know. I'm going to mention every name on here and then give you some of the bit. I don't know much about Keith Armstrong, but I know he's not going to be the next Bucks head coach. So we can eliminate that. We'll start with the recent firings that NFL.com points out. They point out Hugh Jackson. I'm not wasting my time. He's not going to be the next Bucks coach. The next name on the list has been linked to the Buccaneers already. This was posted at JoeBucksFan.com, and that's Mike McCarthy. It's a good name to start with, right? Mike McCarthy, long time with the Packers. 10 playoff games, one Super Bowl. Obviously, long time with the Packers. Handled the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And you know, obviously a lot of success in winning football games. Here's and I don't want to spend a lot of time because there are a ton of candidates. Here's my issue with Mike McCarthy. Okay, we know the positives, right? He's won a lot of games. He's got a lot of experience. He's won division titles. He's won playoff games. He's won a Super Bowl. He's got all that. Offensive guy, puts up points. But my biggest issue with Mike McCarthy is, are you getting Dirk Cutter 2.0? Are you getting, because when I think about the Packers over the years, struggled running the football, could never figure out who their running back was supposed to be, whether it was in recent years, the guy, the receiver who transferred to running back from Stanford, Tyrone something. Or it was Jamal Williams from BYU, or the Jones guy, or the this guy, or the that. It just seems like they could never figure out who they wanted their running back to be. Sound familiar? Defense. Could never figure out the defense. You know, they drafted Marius Randle in the first round, then they trade him to the Browns. Now he's having a great year. They trade away Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They continue to struggle in their defense. They draft all these guys over the years, and they just, maybe the polar opposite of what the Saints have done in all of the draft picks they've invested in their off in the defensive side of the ball. Their defense has now finally turned the corner. On the flip side of it, Packers never have. So was that McCarthy? Was that who was calling, who was making the calls on who the players were going to be drafted? Is he too loyal to, was he too loyal to Dom Capers, but then he made the change? I don't know. I mean, as many, there's probably more questions I have about McCarthy than I have answers. Now, here's a positive. He built his offensive line to fit his motherfucking offense. It's not a hard concept. He built an offensive line that could pass protect so that he could protect his quarterback because he knew he was going to throw more than he was going to run. So whether it was Bakhtiari or the guy from Indiana a couple of years ago, I mean, that's been the type of offensive lineman that they've gotten is physical offensive linemen who tend to lean more towards pass protection than run blocking. Which, if you're going to throw the ball, you might want to invest in those type of offensive linemen. So that's McCarthy. Now, Bruce Arians is another guy who has recently left his team. And that was last year. He has said he's only going to coach for the Browns. I know there are several Bucks fans out there that believe Bruce Arians ends up with the Bucks one way or another. Connection with Jason Light, it makes sense. Is it the best offense for Jameis Winston? It's another vertical type of offense. Now, the good news with Bruce Arians is that he comes from a path of Steelers. Then he was with the Colts. I don't think they ever got the running back there. But then they had David Johnson in Arizona. So he had running backs in Pittsburgh. He had running back, a great running back, in Arizona. You know, I'd like to see a more balanced attack. But he used his running back as much in the pass game as he did in the run game. And that was David Johnson's skill set. Is that the type of offense Bruce Arians is going to run? Possibly. Possibly. The other thing with Bruce Arians, a lot of vertical routes down the field. Not Jameis Winston's strength. But again, Bruce Arians has been around for a long time. Is he able to adjust what he's done to fit the skill set? And whether you like it or not, Jameis Winston's your quarterback. The Oregon quarterback went back to school. There's like nothing in this draft when it comes to quarterbacks. And plus, you're not going to turn things over to a rookie quarterback. By the way, in a class that doesn't really have much quarterbacks, and there's not going to be much. You've got your guy. You got your guy. You know, rather than basing your entire opinion on Jameis Winston with the one coach he's ever had, I don't know. We've seen quarterbacks make a turn for the better with new coaches. Let's see what the new coach does with Jameis Winston. Then let's have our judgment. If a new coach comes in, turns around his career, guess what? We still got what we wanted when he was drafted first overall. New coach comes in and Jameis Winston struggles. They're not winning games. You know, is he turning the ball over? No, but is he making plays? There's a fine line here. I mean, eventually you got to make some plays, but you need the players around you to play. The quarterbacks can't just go out there by themselves and win games. And I think we can all agree, whether you like Jameis or not, this offensive line's abysmal. Okay? So if you don't like Jameis, I don't care who you want to be the quarterback. No matter who that quarterback is, with that offensive line, ain't happening. Okay? And if you like Jameis, you probably want him to fix their offensive line, because with that offensive line, it ain't happening. Doesn't matter the quarterback. So fix it. All right, so Bruce Arians, so the other one that could be fired is Mike Tomlin. Let's face the facts here. The Glazers hired Raheem Morris because of Mike Tomlin. They thought Raheem Morris was on pace to be the next Mike Tomlin in the NFL. And they were so scared of losing that I don't know if that played a role into the firing of John Gruden, but it damn sure played a role into the accelerated hiring of Raheem Morris. I mean, they panicked. Raheem went to interview with the Broncos, and the Glazer boys were like, oh, hell nah. And they signed him immediately to become their head coach. Even though he had never been a coordinator in the NFL and he was 32 years old, it's like, pump the brakes a little bit, guys. Raheem Morris is on this list. I'm not going to talk about him. I think he should get another shot at being a head coach in the NFL. It just, whether it's right or not, it just shouldn't happen here, unfortunately. I do like the guy as a person. He just, that was bad. It's bad stuff. So when it comes to Mike Tomlin, listen, if he becomes available, obviously most NFL teams are probably going to want to engage him. Some are going to go hard after him. I'd be surprised if any organization were to go harder after Mike Tomlin than what Ed, Joel, and Brian could do. if he were to become available. It's just, I'm just piecing it all together like a puzzle. And if they were so trigger happy to get Raheem Morris as their head coach because they thought he could be the next Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin becomes available eventually, and you have a need for a coach, I'm just assuming that that would be their top target at that point. Let's see. Some of the other interim coaches they have on here. Joe Philbin, not a target. Not even going to mention him. Greg Williams. I don't see the Buccaneers hiring Greg Williams to be their head coach, so I don't want to waste any time. All right, first-timers. Here you go. These are going to be some of the coordinators we've talked about, some that we have not talked about, some of the position coaches we've talked about, some that we haven't talked about. First on this list, and I don't know if it's in alphabetical order, so that makes it a little easier. I'm going to go through these names, and you know, you think about your opinion about this individual coach. And how many years have we gone into these coaching searches? Really the last four, and we talk about the best candidates. And they always, you know, nobody had mentioned Chip Kelly that year. They went after Chip Kelly. And then nobody had mentioned Greg Schiano, and that's where they went, right? Lovie Smith was available. Definitely better coaching candidates out there. They went right for Lovie Smith. So, yeah, I want to talk about all the names that are out there right now and, you know, kind of talk about some of the positives. Some of the things I like, some of the things I don't like. So the next one is offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. We've seen Matt Nagy last year, Doug Peterson the year before. So it's like, hey, you become an offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, and you're going to go on to become a successful NFL coach. Okay, Peterson did it. Nagy's now doing it in his first year. Must mean Bieniemy is going to do it in his first year. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I don't like to just lump guys in with that. And I think the trend eventually is that one of these guys is going to end up not being a great head coach. Bieniemy, you know, with what we've seen from the Kansas City Chiefs this year, obviously putting up a ton of points. They've got a dynamic weapon in Tyreek Hill. They've got a great tight end. Kind of sounds familiar. Dynamic wide receiver, dynamic tight end, which I think O.J. Howard can be. Offense has been a little different since they haven't had a running back. Could that play a role into Eric Bieniemy? You know, knowing the importance of a running back, that helps. Bieniemy doesn't have a long history of working with quarterbacks. He is a former running back himself. So I don't know we can attribute a lot of the credit to Bieniemy for Patrick Mahomes' rise this year, because he did have Peterson. I want to say, was he a rookie that year? I know he had Nagy last year. So you start to factor in those, and of course Andy Reid overseeing the entire thing. Where does Bieniemy fit? And it's so hard for me, I think, or any of you, to cast judgment on Bieniemy, because I think this is a difficult one that needs an interview and needs to figure out. They need to figure out is, if Bieniemy is a top target of ours, is it because of what others have done or because we like him? And if it's because of what others have done, you got a lot of questions you need to ask Bieniemy, because it can't be about what others have done. It has to be about what you see in him and how you envision him on your sideline hoisting up a championship trophy, NFC championship trophy, Super Bowl trophy. Can you picture that? Can this guy take you there? Those are questions you're going to need to answer yourself after you ask him questions in an interview. Dan Campbell, we've talked about many times, okay? Assistant head coach, tight ends coach of the Saints. Division rival, yes. But Dan Campbell has a background as an interim coach with the Dolphins. He's a tough, physical, no-nonsense type of player, now coach, Parcells guy, very important with him. Who's your defensive coordinator? Who's your offensive coordinator? Who are the men you are going to surround yourself with to build a championship team? And a championship team needs a championship coaching staff. I don't mind Dan Campbell as a leader of men. But great leaders surround themselves with great leaders. Okay? So who are the leaders Dan Campbell's going to surround himself around? Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator for the Colts. They have been better this year. Obviously, I think they've improved their offensive line, the Colts have, and their defense. I don't think that's 48-year-old defensive coordinator for the Colts. Doesn't sound like the target for the Bucs, if you ask me. Doesn't sound like it. Same with George Edwards, 51-year-old defensive coordinator, Vikings. Yes, they are physical. Yes, they are nasty. Yes, they have a lot of talent. Again, I don't think that's the direction the Glazers want to go this year. And if they were going to go with a defensive and older, like 51-year-old, if they're going to go with an older defensive coordinator, I hope that the pick is the next name on the list, and that's Vic Fangio. If you're going to go with an older defensive coordinator, go with the best that's active right now. And Vic Fangio dominated when he was defensive coordinator of the Niners, and now he is dominating as defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. Now, oh, you could say, well, he's dominating because of Khalil Mack, you know. But, I mean, you go back to his day with the 49ers, they invested in getting him pass rushers. In Chicago, they made the investment and went out and got him a pass rusher, knowing if we can get Vic Fangio a pass rusher, the entire defense is going to be dominant. And that they have. That they have. Would I love to bring back the days of a nasty defense? Absolutely. Always going to be a question, though. What's not even the name, but what style of offense do you want to have? Is it going to be very conservative, that defensive style approach? You know, worked for the Jaguars last year, hasn't worked too much for them this year. Conservative, run the ball, play good defense. Those days are done. I mean, you got to have some rhythm to an offense. You got to put up points as an offense. So what's it going to be? That would be my major question for Vic Fangio is, what's the style, the overall style? Not just offense style, defensive style, but is it going to be, hey, we're going to lean on our defense and offense, just don't screw it up? I just don't think you can have that type of buckball anymore. I might be wrong, but we just don't see it that often. Brian Flores is the New England Patriots linebackers coach. I'm going to stay away from Patriots assistant coaches. They're all over the NFL. We really don't see a ton of them having a ton of success. I mean, I don't need to give you examples of every single one, but you know, whether it's Patricia and then the whole saga with McDaniels last year, and we've seen over the years, Cornell and this and that. Just, I don't know. I'm gonna stay away from it. I know he's young, 37 years old, respected by players, but I just think the Bucs need more than the Patriots linebackers coach right now. Joe Judge is the Patriots special teams coach. I think they stay away from that. Matt LaFleur is the next one on the list. Titans offensive coordinator. Spent a year under Sean McVay when McVay was with the Rams last year. Before that, McVay and LaFleur were with Kyle Shanahan for a long time. Redskins, Falcons. And then I think once Shanahan ended up going to the 49ers, somewhere along the way, McVay went to the Rams, and then LaFleur went to the Rams under McVay. So he was under Shanahan, under McVay, now with the Titans, creating an offense that fits Mariota, fits the running attack. They run the ball efficiently. Yeah, 39 years old, I'm interested. I'm interested because you're always trying to find the next guy. Okay, the next Sean McVay. And McVay, I mean, he was under Shanahan. Was he under Jay Gruden? Or it just seemed like he never really called the plays. And then he went to LA, to the Rams, and he's lighting the world on fire. And LaFleur is calling the plays for the Titans. I don't want to say he's lighting the world on fire, but since they lit a fire under Derrick Henry's ass, it's a completely different team, completely different offense. Yeah, I'd be interested in Matt LaFleur. You know, he's been with the Shanahans for a while. He was with McVay. You know, he's been with different organizations. He's only 39 years old. He's connected around the NFL. I'm intrigued by all of these things. Can he, at a young age, with the connections he already has, piece together a strong coaching staff and take this organization to the next level? I don't know much about him, but I want to talk to him, at least. Don Martindale, he's the Ravens defensive coordinator. Again, dominant, dominant defense. We saw him firsthand a couple weeks ago. It's intriguing. I think if they go the defensive route, and I haven't heard Vic Fangio's name at all, but again, probably lean his way. I just think they go younger. It's an assumption on my – if they go older, I think it's somebody who's been a head coach before. If they go younger, I think – or if they go in another direction, I think it's younger, up-and-coming coordinator. Todd Monken made the list to be a head coach. This is what it says. Has emerged as an under-the-radar candidate with Tampa offense surging since Dirk Cutter returned play-calling duties to him last month. Head coaching experience, Southern Miss, 2013 to 15 plus. I think this was just written recently, too. December 26th, so today. I don't know if the Bucks offense has been surging as of late, but whatever. Hey, here's a name. Next on the list, Chris Richard, Dallas Cowboys passing game coordinator, defensive backs coach, and calls the plays for the Dallas defense. Huge fan of Chris Richard. He's 39 years old, defensive guy, creator of the Legion of Boom in Seattle, accredited with that, a Legion of Brotherhood, he called it. Players respect him across the league. He brings unbelievable amounts of energy. His players have fed off that. They fed off it in Seattle. They're feeding off of it in Dallas, creating turnovers. Okay, the Bucs defense played well against the Cowboys. Not bad. But, man, that defense was flying around. He's been an integral part there. He was an integral part in Seattle. He's well-connected. I think he can get a good offensive coordinator. A name I wouldn't forget about is Daryl Bevel, the former offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, who ran a West Coast style of offense, which actually might be a good fit for the Bucs personnel that they currently have. Add in a running back, and there you go. Well, obviously, bolster that offensive line. How long? It's long. Longer than I wanted, but nonetheless, some other ones on here. Deuce Staley, I don't see him being a head coach yet. Zach Taylor is the quarterback's coach for the Rams. I don't see him being a head coach yet, 35 years old. Dave Taub is the special teams coach for the Chiefs. He's one of those guys I think just the national media likes. They throw his name out there every year. Kind of like around here, Rich Bisaccia really needs to be a head coach. He's not going to be a head coach, okay? Dave Taub's probably not going to be a head coach either. Last one was Shane Waldron, the passing game coordinator, tight ends coach for the Rams. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. He's worked under McVay and Belichick. He's not an offensive coordinator because McVay didn't name an offensive coordinator. I haven't heard much about him. I think there's better candidates. Guys who have been head coaches before, could they be getting their second or third chance? Dennis Allen, I don't see the Bucks going after him. Gus Bradley, I don't see the Bucks going after him either. Although, I'd like to see Gus Bradley get another shot at being an NFL head coach. You know, just because it didn't work for the Jaguars, like the Lions, you know, there's certain fringe, the Bucks. That doesn't mean that you're just a bad coach. And what he's doing in completely transforming that Chargers defense into the dominant defense they've been this year. Very, very impressive. Jim Caldwell, this is the interesting one. Jim Caldwell. Ties with Tony Dungy. We know that right off the bat. So Tony Dungy's going to talk him up. He's been head coach with the Colts, head coach with the Lions. I wouldn't touch him as a head coach. I don't think he's what this organization needs. I don't think he would get, again, this is an assumption. I mean, if he gets hired, I hope they go 16-0. I don't see him being more than a 9-7 type of coach. Not a guy that's going to dominate. Not a guy that's going to spark, you know, something that we haven't seen around here in a while. Not a coach that's going to just come in and take the NFC South by storm. Just a blah guy. Kind of like a Lovie, like an offensive Lovie Smith. And in terms of charisma, in terms of energy, and, oh, well, you don't need that, blah, blah. And there's something about this organization that needs something. Needs something. And I want to say, oh, it's a calming presence. But Lovie Smith was a calming presence. And it didn't work out. Now, I will say this. Jim Caldwell is an offensive coordinator to come in and help a young, up-and-coming head coach. Dare I say it, Chris Richard? You know, sounds a lot like McVay going to the Rams and hiring a Wade Phillips, longtime defensive coordinator, has seen it all, can come in and kind of be somebody that the young head coach can lean on. Now, I like that idea a lot. And if Jim Caldwell is a coordinator candidate, it's a much different story to me than a head coaching candidate. And I think Jim Caldwell would be an ideal offensive coordinator for this offense, and in particular, Jameis Winston. I think he would work with Winston. He would create an offense that revolves around Winston's strengths. I think we'd, as fans, get a true depiction of what Jameis Winston is and can be in the NFL. I don't know if we've gotten that yet in the last couple of years under Cutter. Jack Del Rio's on the list. He won't be the next Bucs coach. Leslie Frazier's on the list. He won't be the Bucs next coach. Josh McDaniels is on the list. There's a lot of drama there. Raheem Morris is not. Mike Munchak. I heard Steve Isbitz mention this on the Joe's podcast, the Monday Morning Cup of Joe, which posts Thursdays. It's fine, okay? It's Joe, both of them are busy guys. But Steve mentioned Mike Munchak, and I was like, eh. I don't, kind of lukewarm on it. But I'll tell you what, it makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Respected former player, respected arguably best offensive line coach in the NFL. He'd immediately fix the offensive line. He'd have an eye for talent to get out, to get the best lineman in to fit what he wants to do. He's a Steeler guy. He's been with the Steelers and the Titans and back with the Steelers. Okay, he's got that mentality. Well-connected, knows a ton of people throughout the NFL over his years playing and coaching. Yeah, I could see that making sense, but you know, he's not going to excite you with anything he says. It's going to have to be based on what the product is on the field. Why is it good for Jameis? It's good because he'd fix the offensive line. The concerns I have, you need more than an offensive line. Does that mean he doesn't know anything about it? No. Is there going to be the sense of urgency needed to be successful on a week-to-week basis in this type of division. Well, the division's down this year. Falcons, Panthers. Just because it's down this year doesn't mean that they're not going to turn it up next year. I think Cam Newton's dealt with a shoulder injury most of the year. The Falcons have dealt with a myriad of injuries early on. And the Saints are, damn, they're on fire. Yeah, this is gonna continue to be a tough division, you know. I don't know if Drew Brees is retiring after this year. Matt Ryan's still got stuff left in him. It'll be interesting to see who their offensive coordinator is next year. And the Panthers still have firepower on both sides of the ball. So is Mike Munchak the guy who can come in and take the Bucks to the top of the NFC South? I don't think so. I mean, I want to believe so. I don't think he'd be a bad hire. It would make sense to me. It's not I'd have a lot of questions to go with some of my excitement. Mac, college ranks, Chuck Pagano was mentioned. I don't think he's the next Bucks head coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a defensive coordinator next year rather than a head coach. And if he was available and made Bucks defensive coordinator by whoever they hire as coach, I'd be all for that. Matt Campbell mentioned from the college ranks, 39. He's at Iowa State. He's the fun name to talk about. I don't think an NFL team hires him this year. I think he's going to have to go to another program and continue to show it. They compared him to Kirk Ferentz with Iowa all those years. Oh, every year Kirk Ferentz, and every year he stayed at Iowa. Maybe because nobody went overly hard after him. I don't know. Pat Fitzgerald mentioned at Northwestern. Nah. Jim Harbaugh. I believe if the Glazers were going for the home run, Jim Harbaugh is the guy. An offense that fits Jameis Winston, going to run the football, works extremely well with quarterbacks over the years, won a lot of football games, nasty, mean, physical, charismatic, ties to the Tampa Bay area. Jack Harbaugh was with the Bucks once upon a time. There's stuff there. I think if the Glazers were gearing up for what they consider a home run hire, going after the big name, I think it's Harbaugh, personally. That makes the most sense for them to go after, and it just all clicks together. Now, the same breath, but maybe with less drama, is a guy in David Shaw. Been with Stanford for a number of years, pro-style offense, wants to run the football, recruited Jameis Winston. I believe it was Shaw that recruited Jameis Winston. Winston chose Florida State over Stanford. But I think Shaw would be phenomenal for Jameis. He would piece together an offensive line because he wants to run the football. Anytime you have these college coaches, whether it's him or Lincoln Riley or anyone else, you know, what NFL guys, do you know what NFL guys are going to be a part of your staff? And are you going to be able to make that transition from college to pro? It is different. Some have done it well, and some have been absolutely horrible at it. The other name, Chris Peterson. The Bucks have been very active with the Washington Huskies over the years. But, Chris Peterson, I don't. Then again, I had no clue they'd go after Chip Kelly. So, anyway, I hope that helps you. Just a quick rundown. It was about 40 minutes of the coaching candidates out there. After looking at this list, I mean, not much of it has changed for me personally. When I look at it, no names made me go, "Man, I never thought of that guy." But I'm back to Chris Richard. Matt LaFleur, Mike Tomlin, Jim Harbaugh, Caldwell, Chuck Pagano, maybe as coordinators, Mike Munchak. So you're starting to see Dan Campbell's same names now. Who's going to be their target? Who are they going to go after, and who are they going to get? I believe the Glazers have been preparing for this for 6 weeks now. I wouldn't be surprised if they even told Dirk Cutter 6 weeks ago that he wasn't going to be retained at the end of the season. Well, why not just fire him? Well, if you fire him and you name Todd Monken your interim or Duffner your interim, and they end up going 7-9. What are you going to do? You're going to have half the fan base going, oh, Duffner, or Monken. And then the other half's going to be like, you're still 7-9. They really weren't that much better. It's just, I mean, this is what they're dealing with in Cleveland now, because they're playing great under Greg Williams, but it's like, I mean, is it Greg Williams? Was it just getting away from Hugh Jackson? You know, can we improve it, coach? Do we stick with the interim? There's a lot of questions there. A lot of questions. I think that's why they don't fire coaches in the middle of the season. When they make up their mind, it's like, okay, we're going to bring in a new coaching staff. We are not going to just name an interim and then let him be the coach. Actually, they just kind of tried that, even though they fired Lovey after the season, and then they just promoted Dirk Cutter. And I just think they're ready to kind of wipe their hands clean of the entire coaching staff and let the next coach, hey, if the next coach wants to hire Monken, then you hire Monken. But I just think that with all these coaches' contracts, I believe the assistant coaches, their contracts are up. It's going to be a clean slate. New coach comes in and gives us hope. Because I'll tell you what, every fucking name I just rambled off and talked about gives me more hope than I have right now for this fucking team. Let's go. Our season, the off season, starts in less than 5 days.
Bucks Uncensored.
It's Bucks Uncensored. I'm Justin Pulowski. This podcast is 2 times a week, normally Mondays and Wednesdays. Obviously, Christmas Eve, kind of. Okay, listen. Everyone's house, everyone has their own stuff. I've talked about it before, but I went through a divorce 2 years ago. And so Christmas Eve is my Christmas with my daughter. She comes over on the 23rd, spends the night. We have Christmas morning. Santa stops at our house before stopping. Listen, 50% of marriages end up in divorce, okay? Santa's got a lot of houses to go to. You think Santa can do all that in one night? Absolutely not. He goes to the dad's homes on the night of the 23rd, and he goes to the moms and everyone else's homes on the 24th. It's not that hard of a situation to figure out. And so the 23rd into the 24th is Christmas for my daughter and I. And then Christmas Eve, we had my daughter, and then Holly's daughter came over from her dad's house. And then we had a big family thing Christmas Eve night. And then Christmas Day, we have, so pretty much Hadley, my daughter, gets by herself Christmas Eve morning. Christmas Eve night, everyone's together. Christmas morning, Maya, Holly's daughter, gets special attention. So actually, it all works out. But that's why there was no podcast on Monday. And that's why there was no podcast on Wednesday, because we were still kind of taking in Christmas night on Tuesday night. So here we are, Thursday. Thank you for being patient. Just know, kind of after we get in past the new year and everything, we'll get more into a routine, especially as the Buccaneers have their coaching search underway. Let's go. Hey, thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings. We love them. Thanks to Cigar City Beer. I've been to Publix. We were at Fresh Market. Fresh Market had the Hi-Li, the Lager, the Maduro, the Florida Cracker. They had the Invasion. They had it all. And by the way, prices were great. So I loaded up. You should be loading up as well. New Year's is right around the corner. You know, you don't want to drink a bunch of liquor. All the girls are going to drink their champagne. Guys, do yourself a favor. Go and get some Cigar City beer. And if you're like me, you're going to get the Hi-Li. You're going to load up on the Hi-Li, and you're going to end 2018 the same way you're going to start 2019. And that's going to be drunk as fuck. Drunk as fuck. Cigar City beer. We love them. Listen, born and raised in Tampa. I'm born and raised in Tampa. The Bucks are born and raised in Tampa. You like me, right? You like the Bucks. You should be loving Cigar City beer. All right, let's get some Bucks takes, shall we? Ton of them. A lot of people fired up. Always good to have Rodzilla, the motherfucking killer, back on the podcast. Also always good to welcome in our buddy Lou. Hey, Lou.
Justin, Lou from Port Richey, man. Listen, I want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. I know Santa didn't bring us a playoff or good fucking play. Fucking nothing. But, you know, I want to fucking say, you know, go Bucks and shit. Look, we're playing Atlanta, bro. Do the right thing. Shit the bed! I'd rather get the fucking draft picked in a fucking moral win. Put Griffin out there. If for the last fucking action of your career, fucking Connor, do the right thing. And Glazes. Glazes. Get it right! Get it right! Fucking hire somebody and fucking get the fucking right coach in here. The right GM. Do it. Do it. Stop wasting fucking money, you bastards. Stop it. It's not good for you. It's not good for us. It's not fucking good, period. Fuck.
Always good to have you back on the podcast, Lou. And I think we all feel that passion. We feel the pain. We feel the anger, but we also feel the hope. The hope is right around the corner. Let's turn it over to our buddy in Cali. It's Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Kamish, what's up? It's Jeremy in Cali. Haven't called in a while, man. Lost a lot of motivation, I guess, in the past few weeks. Anyway, that's how it goes, you know, when you're passionate about your team and your team lets you down. I guess what we're seeing is, you know, Mike Smith should have been fired a long time ago. We all knew that. Duffner's really made this team pull together. I feel like the defense has pulled their pulled up by the bootstraps, got their shit together. Nassib's a monster beast. You know, JPP is great. I think he's playing a little hurt this season, but he's ready to go. And man, you know, defense has actually stepped up. And look, when somebody can motivate them, unlike Mike Smith. I think Mike Smith got into the heads of all those, you know, cornerbacks. Anyway, the other side of it too is we see that the offense has pretty much quit. You know, I think even Jameis has quit, which is crazy for him. But, you know, they're going to keep trying. And I think, you know, Dirk better be done. Even through that report today that he may not be, that they're still trying to decide. Yeah, right. They better have made that decision, just like you said today. And also, breaking news, I heard, I think DeSean Jackson was already looking for property in New England during the game. He was actually on Zillow looking for a new house up in New England. So there you go. That's how it goes. And you know what? I got an idea. This is what I've been hashtagging, and I just like this one. Let's swab the deck, man. Pirate talk, everything else. Get down there, swab the deck, clean that shit off. Get everybody out of here, and let's start anew. All right? All right. Thanks to all the sponsors. You know, been over Buffalo Wild Wings recently. Been trying to find Highlight. I know the boys down here in San Diego know where it is, and I got to go get it. So, anyway, go Bucks. Shit.
I just absolutely love how we have one person sending a Bucks take. They say, go Bucks. Shit. And it turns into the tagline. That's our tagline. Until things change, it's going to be go Bucks. Shit. Because that's how we feel, right? We want to go Bucks. But then we realize, here we go again. Shit. Go Bucks. Shit. Tobias up there in Phoenix. Hey, Tobias.
Hey, what's good, Commish? This is Tobias out of Phoenix. Hope you had a good Christmas with your family. All right. One person that's not going to have a Merry Christmas is Dirk Cutter. We all know he's gone Monday morning. Now, the decision to bring back Mike Smith, in my opinion, wasn't a decision that doomed him. I believe ultimately how he handled Jameis Winston doomed Dirk Cutter. And it showed his lack of leadership. Now, they asked Dirk Cutter, after Jameis got suspended, is he going to be your quarterback after, you know, after suspension? Dirk was noncommittal. He left the door open for D-Jax to go on TV and say, well, I want Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the quarterback. Left the door open for the media to say, should Jameis Winston get his job back? Dirk Cutter should have pulled a Ron Rivera or Mike Tomlin and said, Jameis Winston is our starting quarterback, period, dot. Hell or high water, he's my guy. Now, after Cincinnati, he should have gotten pulled that game. But Dirk Cutter should have said, hey, number three, you had a rough one. We'll have Fitz take us home. We'll see you next week, big fella. But the problem was that when he said Ryan Fitzpatrick gave them the best chance to win, they proceeded to lose every game Fitz started. Some of them weren't even close. And then saying that winning the turnover battle was the reason that they losing games, actually losing the turnover battle. Well, Jameis cut down on the turnover since coming back from suspension. And the Bucs didn't look good in those starts. Ryan Fitzpatrick started after Jameis meltdown in Cincinnati. That meant the focus was solely on Dirk Cutter, saying, wait, you fired a D coordinator. You blamed the quarterback. The team still stinks. What's going on? I believe that lack of leadership doomed Dirk Cutter more than anything. Hey, you have a good one, Commission.
Well, I mean, that's pretty harsh. Am I supposed to have a good one after that? Lack of leadership doomed Dirk Cutter. The only thing that can get me going after that is some Phil Collins. I hope we get to hear it soon.
This is Carson from Orlando doing a Bucks take. Cue the Phil Collins.
No, you're not going.
I have a question.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
I want to know who are the top five candidates to be the next general manager for the Buccaneers. Because I think that is the most important question moving forward for this franchise.
Wow. So many times I play Phil Collins and I just have a clear message come to my brain. And that is the answer to every fucking question I get. I don't have an answer for this one, though. I will be honest, I have been so focused on the coach and potential president, and I remember, and I started to think about who the next GM could be if they made a change, and then I remembered back to the last one, and the candidates were like the assistant GM for the Ravens, the assistant GM for the Falcons, the assistant GM for the blah, and there's guy, Jason Light, who's this guy to the Cardinals, and yeah, I didn't recognize any fucking names. So if I throw out a bunch of assistant GMs to you, my guess is you're not going to fucking know any names. So I'm going to just leave it at that. Because I don't really want to waste your time and I don't really want to waste my time on a bunch of guys that you've probably never heard of, and I probably never heard of. And then we're going to all try and act like we know them because we read their fucking bio. Sorry, Carson. Ask me another question next time. I promise I'm normally pretty good at them because fucking Phil Collins gets me jacked. Hello, AJ.
Hey, Justin, it's AJ again. I just got to make something really clear. It's something that's been on my mind for the Buccaneer fans out here. I don't give a damn who is the quarterback of our franchise as long as they are winning and they're successful. But what I do care about is that if our organization is doing all that it can to put our quarterback in the position to be successful. So what I'm getting at here, I am so fucking sick of everybody judging Winston so damn anally. Every single fucking snap, he has to be perfect. That's bullshit. There's no fucking quarterback in NFL history that was perfect all the fucking time. That is ridiculous and is absurd that you even think that every quarterback, that Winston is going to be perfect. That's not realistic. What's realistic is if you put him in the right scheme. 1-2-3 go, short routes, and set up the big plays. Not these stupid-ass vertical long runs when you don't even have the line to do that. You don't have a run game. What the fuck do you guys expect? Winston cannot do it by himself. No quarterback can do it by themselves. If you don't believe me, go fucking ask Aaron Rodgers. Look at the Packers right now. This is the great Aaron Rodgers. But when you don't have the players to help you, nobody is going to be successful. Come on, guys. Come on, Bucks fans. Save all the fucking personal shit out of it. You don't know Winston as a person. I don't know none of the damn players as a person. I'm concerned about what they do on the damn field. Winston has shown us plenty of times he has it. Does he make mistakes? Absolutely. Absolutely. He can do some of the most boneheaded shit. However, for the past few weeks, that has not been the case. Protection for Winston, please. Protection for Winston. Damn. Come on, guys. Go Bucks. Shit.
It's so funny every time. Protection for Winston. Careful now. Careful, because if you just say protection for Winston, Jason Light might go out and sign 5 offensive linemen this offseason, but then forget about the rest of the team. It's kind of been his MO. He overcompensates for a weakness and then forgets about the rest of the team. However, if there was ever a time to overcompensate for something, your fucking offensive line might be it. Just saying. Final one, out to San Diego. It's our buddy Eric. Oof. And I know Eric. He is a huge USF fan. At least they were above 500. They're better than the Bucks. Yeesh.
Justin Stick here. So I'm San Diego calling my Bucks take. I initially was going to call in talking about the USF Bulls and their literal historic fail on the season going 7-6. But today's Bucks loss was so impressive because you saw a team that wasn't out and talented. You saw a team that very much could hold their own as far as talent goes, but was out-coached. And that's unfortunate. And that's the reason that everyone's saying, oh, Dirk Cutter should stay next year. He's got to make adjustments. He's got to make sure, you know, to get rid of the right people. Well, he's had 3 years and hasn't fucking done it yet. So what makes you think he's going to do it now? Because now his job's on the line? Like his job was on the line fucking last year? I don't understand that. You saw a head coach watch his quarterback try his team out on 4th-and-1 and say, nah, 5 seconds left. Yeah, we have a chance to get the ball. The fucking center hadn't even put his hand on the motherfucking ball, but we had a chance to get that ball snapped. That's y'all's head coach. That's for the people who want Dirk Cutter to stay and to just make some changes. That is your head coach saying, nah, we got it. Oh, wait, it's 1 second left? Oof. He's just getting in his stance. Fuck. No, we're good. No, he's got it. Oh, it's fuck. Negative 2 seconds? Well, sometimes they wait to blow that whistle. So I think we might be okay. hey, y'all want to keep ride or die with fucking Dirk Cutter, go ahead. It's great. I think you're all fucking crazy. But we are looking into a new regime coming in. I feel for the defensive coaches in the sense that it is now shown, proven, that Mike Smith was a cancer on this fucking defense. And it's unfortunate because the defensive staff is going to cost. Hopefully these coaches get other jobs and can show their worth. But, you know, Dirk Cutter decided to keep all his staff together and only hire one difference in the defensive line coach. So, you know, way to go, Coach Cutter. Just keep things going. Go Bucks.
Hey, you know, consistency is key. That's what people that say they want to keep the coach. Well, you can't have any consistency if you keep changing the coach every 2 years. Well, if you got a bad coach, consistently having shitty coaching is not going to transition a team from shitty to good. Just leave that. And as for Charlie Strong and Bulls, that's a shit show over there. Yeesh. I mean, I'm sorry, Eric, but I kind of feel like I got off that broadcast team just in the nick of time. Yikes. I mean, I try to watch some of those games, and they're just fucking brutal. Brutal. I guess I can't fucking put this together. And I'm glad UCF did. You know, USF's arch rival, they figured it out. There's so much fucking talent in the state. How can you not win? And it's like they needed an epiphany by Willie Taggart to realize he can't run his same bullshit Stanford-style defense or offense here. Opened it out up, and then all of a sudden USF's winning a bunch of fucking games. And then Charlie Strong comes here, and they've got literally like three plays in their offensive playbook. And it's not like his defense is doing shit either. So if you suck offensively and you suck defensively, what the fuck is going on? It's all right. You're in the AAC. Power six, right? Ugh. Ugh. Every team's trying to bolt as quickly as they can. No other conferences want them. And now the only talk is UCF, Cincinnati, and maybe Houston. USF is there. It's just a yikes. Ugh, the AAC. Oh, and by the way, love you, UCF, but no team in the AAC will ever win a national title. Ever. Unless they expand the playoffs, maybe to eight teams. Maybe. But let's just get it. Let's just get that through our heads, okay? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen anytime soon. All right, that's going to do it. So hopefully I didn't piss off too many UCF fans or USF fans. I think it was just speaking honestly. Listen, UCF's got a much better shot of getting out of the AAC, the fucking black hole of college football, and getting into a real conference. Not so much for USF. And listen, USF alum. I'm as frustrated as any other USF fans, but guess what? Life goes on, and I'm not going to let it hold me down. So, and apparently you haven't either because nobody's going to the games. Anyway, thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings. We love them. Tremendous sponsor. They have been so loyal to us for all of 2018. The two-night draft party where we had about 800 people the first night and about 500 people the second night, so 1,300 combined for the two nights. Phenomenal. I never, ever anticipated a crowd quite like that, and I hope we can continue to grow it. I'm shooting for 2,000 people in 2019, so 2,000 people over a two-night stretch. If you were at this past one, invite all your friends, know what to expect, and know that we had more people there this past year than what we had anticipated. And, you know, I'd like to do it with Buffalo Wild Wings again, and we're in discussions for that. But, you know, it's no matter where it ends up being, if I rent out a place and have different sponsors, or if we do it actually at Buffalo Wild Wings or a location, it is going to be just what you saw this past year. Tent outside, big screen outside, The focus is obviously going to be a lot more bars and a portable bar outside and just really taking this thing and continuing to grow it each and every year. And there might be a few wrinkles thrown in 2019 as well. There was one event I used to do. It has been heavily requested over the past year, and I may just introduce it to the Bucks Mob in 2019. That's all I'll say about that. But thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings. Long story short, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer Sport. We love them. Cigar City, Beer. I mean, came on board. You all have shown them unbelievable love from Sea to Shining Sea, getting pictures of Cigar City, High Lie, and all of their beer all over the country is mind-boggling. And then just knowing, you know, we got the tasting room here. It's at every Publix, every grocery store, every gas station. It is the best beer. No matter what style of Cigar City you get, you can taste the freshness, you can taste Tampa in every can you drink. I love it. I love it. Speaking of Tampa, Mastro Subaru, I got a couple of guys there, the Mastros, who are right here, dedicated to Tampa. They got a location over in Orlando, but I know Pete has had ties. He's got ties to Tampa Catholic High School and the entire Tampa Bay community. We love Mastro Subaru for what they have meant to the Tampa Bay area for years. My dad, I haven't told this story, my dad purchased a Subaru at Mastro Subaru when I was 5 years old. All right. So I just turned 37 a couple weeks ago. So for 30-plus years, Mastro Subaru has been giving high-quality service and tremendous vehicles to our community and doing it reputably, okay? They're guys you can trust. They're guys from this area who are going to be in this area, who don't have to say huge or give away something just to get you to buy their car, okay? They have quality cars at affordable prices, and they are giving discounts to you, Bucks Mob members and Bucks fans alike. Check them out. Huge selection of pre-owned and new vehicles. Mastro Subaru. In Tampa, it's on Hillsborough Avenue, right near the Veterans. Okay, go by. Tell them you're a member of the Bucks Mob. They'll give you special pricing. Thanks to B4, it's what you drink before you drink. Now available at ABC Liquor stores and public stores throughout the state of Florida. If you're outside of the state of Florida, go to drinkb4.com and you can order something there. Shoot them an email. Let them know you heard about it on Bucks Uncensored. You never know what they might give you just for being a loyal listener to this podcast. And of course, Headlines Barbershop. I look good because Christian gets his hands all up in my hair, gives me a nice scalp massage, massages in that Tomb 45, that hairstyling stuff that he created himself. Headlines Barbershops are popping up all over the Bay Area. So you want to find the Headlines Barbershop closest to you, download their app. You can find the location nearest you and make an appointment. They accept walk-ins. I was in there last Friday. They had probably 15 people just sitting there waiting for a walk-in, and every barber was booked the entire day. That's how crazy Headlines Barbershop has exploded throughout this Bay Area. So get the app, make an appointment, and make it your next haircut location. Make it your destination. It's time for you to stop looking like you paid for a cheap haircut and make it look like you paid for an expensive haircut at a very affordable price. God, this isn't fucking rocket science here, folks. Love you, Christian. And thank you to each and every one of you. Huge year for Bucks Uncensored. The Bucks might not have performed well, but this podcast has performed extremely well. We have continued to grow in numbers. We have transitioned from the old stick carriers to the new Bucks Mob. There's a new energy. There's a new focus. And our goal remains the same. Win. Give us a consistent winner. I don't care who the coach is, the general manager is, the president is, or the players are. I want to win, and the decade of losing ends. It ends now, and if it doesn't end now, you will hear from us because we demand change. We demand a winner. We are the Bucks mob. Go Bucks. Shit.
Show.
BUCCAA.